News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It's now 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis, and as we have been doing here on Thursdays lately, is we have been keeping you, our listeners, up to date on some COVID-related matters, and doing so, we bring in some of the experts. And today, we have Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital, joining us on the phone. Bob, good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Well, and one of the reasons we like to do this on Thursday is because we have the weekly report that comes out on Wednesday. And so we kind of want to look back at some of the data that is involved in that. And there are some increases that we are seeing. And first, you know, there were a couple of deaths, one recent one from last year that was attributed to COVID. But you currently have, I understand, seven patients in the ICU unit there at Ascension Via Christi?
So we have seven COVID patients. Now, a couple of them are in the ICU, and the other five are actually up on the medical floor. And then we also have a PUI patient in addition to that. So eight people that are currently in isolation precautions. And, you know, I actually was looking at that KHA data yesterday afternoon too, Dave, and I think a couple of things that concern me. One, there's a jump since Friday of another 60-plus fatalities across the state. But also a number of counties had not updated their data yet. It's the same as last Friday. And so, and that's part, and I'm assuming it's Liberty Weekend, those sorts of things. But that would tell me that the deaths, hospitalizations, et cetera, are probably understated for the state of Kansas with the data that came out yesterday. So there will most likely be, you know, the Friday report, I would assume, will be a little more up to date.
Okay. Let me ask you a quick question here. The numbers that you have that are dealing with COVID-19 in Ascension Via Christi Hospital, you have seven.
Correct.
How many of those have been vaccinated?
Well, yes, we actually talked about this yesterday afternoon. Six of the seven are not vaccinated. And then the one who is vaccinated has kind of just has a myriad of health issues. And so I believe, you know, they're going to have some immunocompromising issues because of that. So they don't have the immune system that you or I would. So it just makes them more susceptible, certainly to COVID, but lots of other things too. But yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing very much the trend we've seen across the country where the bulk of the patients we're now serving are unvaccinated. And, you know, I think that, again, it just leads to lots of questions about, you know, are there other things that we could be doing so that we could avoid some of this? Because we do believe a lot of these patients, this could have been avoided. They would not be in the hospital, would not be in the ICU.
That definitely puts a positive spin on the need for getting vaccinated. And I know that vaccinations are available and there are lots of opportunities. Do you have some suggestions on how people can move forward in getting vaccinated?
Well, if you've not been vaccinated before at all, you can. I mean, it's actually very easy in Riley County, Pott County, Gary County. There's 10 or 12 pharmacies that daily have vaccine available. Each of the health departments have vaccine available in their vaccine clinics as well. And then, you know, I think it's been at least 3 weeks now. If you're immunocompromised and you have been previously vaccinated, you can actually get a booster dose. And so that's something that we've encouraged, and we've had some of our own staff who are immunocompromised go ahead and get their third booster dose already as well. So we would certainly encourage people to do that because that is, you can go to Dillon's or Hy-Vee or, you know,
many pharmacies,
any of our local pharmacies, mm-hmm. whatever, to do that. Health department, all available.
Do you have a number of those that are in the hospital? Are they all from the Manhattan area? And maybe all Riley County residents, did they fit into that data as it's divided up by the Kansas Department of Health and Environment on a county-by-county basis?
Boy, you're trying to stump me on a Thursday, Dave.
I'm sorry, it's really so early.
Look, and it changes. I think of our seven today, the majority of them are from Riley County, but not all of them.
Okay.
It is pretty typical for us to have people from Pottawatomie County, Gary County, Clay County. That's fairly routine, actually. But the bulk of our patients have tended to still be from Riley County proper.
Do you have an age range for them?
You know, again, so we have a couple people who are older, and everybody else is under the age of 60. Our newest admission, actually is in the ICU. I think she is 61. You know, what we've seen on the ED side of it, because that's where we probably see the bulk of our outpatient COVID patients coming in. Most of them actually have been under the age of 50 over the last week or so.
That's quite a stark change from what it was, you know, a year ago this time.
Oh, definitely. And so, I mean, I think there's a number of factors. One being a lot of our older population actually got vaccinated, so that helps. This definitely is the Delta variant is so much more transmissible. And so those who are out and about working, you know, recreating, whatever, again, tend to be a lot of younger people, and that certainly has been our population. I know, you know, over the last month, either on this call or talking with Brandon or other folks with K-Man, there's been lots of times that, you know, the oldest person in our ICU is 61 or 62 years old. Everybody's been younger than that. And that is definitely a shift, but also it's a warning to all of us who are working age that we really need to be taking precautions and watching out for each other.
Well, one of the fatalities from last week was, what, 31, 32? And that's the youngest that I believe that we've seen in Riley County.
Well, I think our other fatality was 51.
And that's fairly young considering all the others, too.
Yeah. Well, 51 is young to me now, Dave. So.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Thank you very much, Bob. What are you seeing from your peers in other hospitals? You sent me a graph that showed that, you know, there's it looks like a tremendous spike in hospitalizations in hospitals across Kansas.
So we are definitely, Kansas is definitely on a spike up. There's some data that was published yesterday, shared out from KHA. And I mean, we're like 7-day average is 127 now, new admissions. And if you remember just from a couple weeks ago when we were talking, we went from 65 to 76 or something, and then to 87. And I was actually gone out of town for a week or so, and now we're at 127. That is obviously moving in the very wrong direction. There's a lot of our facilities here in Kansas that are very strapped for just space for people and certainly staff to take care of them. And within our organization, we're approaching and this is our hospitals here in Manhattan, Pittsburgh, and Wichita. We're approaching the number of hospitalized COVID patients that we had last November. And that was the beginning of that ramp, that really significant ramp up in December and January. So I think everybody's very concerned. Our peers in Topeka, they they've had a ton of patients coming in there, which has just causes problems. The issue of being able to transfer patients is a day by day, hour by hour challenge, depending on what people need. And I know even some of our smaller rural facilities, there's an article last week about our friends in Onega at the hospital there having very difficult time finding an ICU bed for a patient, and they actually could not find a bed in Kansas at that particular time when they needed placement for a patient. So we're hearing that from our, you know, folks we work with in Clay Center. All of our neighboring communities are certainly seeing that same challenge as well.
Brandon, you have a question for Bob.
Yeah, it was kind of based on the Onega facility. In that, they kind of mentioned some of how they're trying to tackle some of the challenges there. And they mentioned ramping up staffing to administer monoclonal antibodies. And I'm not clear what exactly that does for patients. Can you kind of explain that?
Well, I'll give it my best shot. So this is actually something we have had access to all of this calendar year, and actually back, and I'm trying to think when we started doing the antibody infusion, probably last fall. So what you're basically doing is giving a patient they have to be outpatients, actually. You cannot be an inpatient and get the antibody infusions. So you take an outpatient who's positive, we bring them in, and they actually get an infusion of antibodies. And what this does is it helps their body respond to kind of the attack they're under from COVID. And we've actually seen really good response from patients for that. And we're actually already on like a second generation of those materials. We started out as a really, really long name of the product. So we just started BAM something. So we just called it BAM for short. And that's what we were using initially. That's what all hospitals were using initially. And then over the last few months, we've actually transitioned to kind of this next generation monoclonal antibody infusion product. And it has been much more successful, specifically helping people with the Delta variant. And I have a family member, it's been, over a month ago, older, positive COVID, got some other health issues, actually had the antibody, was swabbed positive on a Monday, got the antibody infusion on a Tuesday here in Manhattan, and by Tuesday evening was feeling better. And it's just, it's kind of a little boost to help your body kind of push back, if you will, against COVID. And for most patients, they actually are seeing positive response within, you know, an hour or the first day. We actually do this as a group because everybody's positive, so you can't, not like you're going to infect somebody else. And so we actually schedule people to come in groups of 3, 4, 5, and they're all together in a room where we do the infusions, a little social time. The actual infusion takes about 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and then you're there for another hour for observation, and you're kind of escorted back out. So pretty simple process, but very effective so far for almost all of our patients. We really haven't had any issues at all with that treatment.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us this morning and bringing us up to date on COVID-related matters with regard to how they stand today in Riley County. And we'll have Julie in next week, I guess.
Yep.
And we also are having you tomorrow on In Focus, correct?
Correct. Yep.
All
Hopefully
right.
be there with a couple of our staff.
Okay. Sounds good. Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO, with our Thursday morning COVID update here on K-Man. Mitch Fortner has our sports up next.